It is gone! A two-run home run for Rhys Hoskins. Game over! Franco wins it!
He got it! He pulled it right out of the bushes!
Swing and a miss! He got him! And Aaron Nola leads two.
Swing and a miss! Struck him out!
Now batting for the Phillies, John Stolness.
Hey there, podcast pals, and welcome back to another edition of Hittin' Season. This is episode number 265. I'm John Stolness from SB Nation's Phillies blog, The Good Fight. You can follow me on Twitter, at John Stolness. Coming up, we're going to talk to Mike Oz from Yahoo Sports. He's going to talk about Bryce Harper, all the stuff that's been going on with Mike Trout these last couple of days. Can't we enjoy the 2019 season before we talk about the 2021 season here, kids? But we'll also talk about some stuff that's going on down in spring training in Clearwater with the Phils, the starting rotation, some of the free agents who are still out there. Plus, I will have your stat of the week. Hey, but first a reminder, folks, that if you're not a subscriber to the Good Fight podcast feed, want to remind you to do that. Go to Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever it is you get your podcast, and look for The Good Fight. Do a search, subscribe to the Good Fight podcast feed, where you'll get Hittin' Season, Continued Success with Justin Clue and Liz Rocher, and The Dirty Inning with Justin and Dr. Trevor Strunk. And there's a new Dirty Inning out there this week. It's really good. It's from 1930. You're going to want to make sure you check that out. I mean, they talked about a game in 1930. The Dirty Inning podcast didn't take place in 1930 because, you know, technology didn't exist to make that sort of thing possible. But you also want to check out our Patreon at Hittin' Season. And now, as we're starting to really get close to the regular season, we're ramping up the content there. I'm going to be doing a weekly power rankings of all 30 Major League Baseball teams. I got one out there this week that you're going to want to check out. And Justin and Liz did a special Continued Success talking about trashy baseball novels. So you're going to want to check out the Patreon. It's at patreon.com/hittin'season for all that. And again, don't forget to rate and review the Good Fight podcast feed on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. All right, let's get into some more Bryce Harper stuff, kids. And I promise we are going to talk about the 2019 Phillies on this podcast. We're going to talk about some actual baseball. I promise we are going to get there. But what everybody's talking about is still Bryce Harper. And as I think about this Harper thing, he's being talked about everywhere, on every medium, on every sports show, every sports radio show. It's not just baseball. Bryce Harper and the Philadelphia Phillies are the talk of sports. And I can't remember the last time this happened with baseball. I guess it was when the Cubs won the World Series baseball was the talk that was on the tip of everybody's tongue. But I can't remember the last time a player changing teams has had this effect on the sports world. Not just the baseball world, but the sports world. Bryce Harper coming to Philadelphia after four long, torturous months of waiting is the story in baseball and the story in sports still. A week, almost a full week after the signing became official. It really is crazy, and the Phillies are at the center of it. Your baseball team is at the center of the sports world right now. And I knew that Harper's signing would really move the needle as far as fan interest in Philadelphia, but I didn't expect opening day to basically get sold out at the rate at which it has. I did not expect the jersey sales to go through the roof like they did. I didn't expect Bryce Harper and Philadelphia to be trending everywhere at all times, even a week after the signing. And Bryce Harper is certainly helping by some of the stuff that he has said over the last couple of days. He's taking part in some simulated games down in Clearwater, so he's actually getting some baseball in. He hit a monster bomb in a simulated game off of Jared Eichhoff on Wednesday, and it looks like he'll start his first game on Saturday at DH. So this weekend, it looks like we're going to get some Bryce Harper live game action, and we'll be able to talk about that on the Sunday night edition of Hittin' Season. But really, what we're talking about these last couple of days is Bryce Harper's continued discussion of going after Mike Trout when he becomes a free agent in 2 years. Take a listen to this clip. He was on 94 WIP. It was on Tuesday afternoon, and they were talking about his contract and the fact that he wants to be an ambassador to bring great players to Philadelphia over these next few years. And he has one guy in mind when he talks about that. Give it a listen.
I think that's one thing about this contract that I'm able to do. You know, having 13 years in a place, I'm able to, you know, help recruit guys to this organization. Ownership understands it. Our manager is awesome. And I can really put, you know, that faith in myself and being able to say, hey, we're going to go about it the right way. We're the Philadelphia Phillies, and we want whoever wants to come to Philly. If you don't want to come to Philly, then don't come. You know, don't be part of it. But if you want to come and be part of a winning team and a winning culture, then, you know, we're going to need the best players to do that. You know, I think it's respecting Mike Trout in a certain way during the season and letting him play and do the things he needs to do to, of course, be Mike Trout. But if you don't think I'm not going to call Mike Trout in 2020 to have him come to Philly, you're crazy. So.
Now, the Angels, of course, were not thrilled about that, and they contacted Major League Baseball and said, this ain't cool, guys. Doesn't this violate some kind of tampering rules? And Major League Baseball contacted the Phillies, and the Phillies talked to Harper about Harper's comments. On Wednesday, a day after those comments, Harper talked to the media again, and he said that the Phillies talked to him and said, I guess when that time comes and guys are free agents, we'll see what happens then. He was then asked, you meant it, right? Like what he, you know, the comments about Bryce Harper going after him in 2020, to which Harper said, if I didn't mean it, I wouldn't have said it. So it's pretty clear Bryce Harper is pitching his camp for Mike Trout. And listen, yeah, Bryce Harper can't be going in public and openly campaigning for Mike Trout. I personally don't think it should be a big problem for a player to openly talk about how badly he would like to play with another player in a couple years when they become a free agent. Totally different when it's an owner or a general manager. If it's an owner or a general manager doing it, I think that is tampering. I do think that that should be worthy of a fine. But if you're talking about players, players in the NBA do this all the time about who they want to play with, what teams they want to go play for before they become free agents. And it's part of what drives the interest in the game, frankly. It gets people talking. It's good for the sport. This whole thing with Harper and Trout has been good for the sport of baseball. The entire sports world is talking about baseball. And we're still in spring training. The two biggest stars of the sport, Bryce Harper and Mike Trout, are on everybody's tongues, and they just so happen to be talking about coming to Philadelphia. I mean, as Phillies fans, could we possibly want any more than what we're getting right now? This is just, it's an embarrassment of riches having Bryce Harper on this team, and for him to be openly campaigning for Mike Trout, I didn't like it last year when Major League Baseball came down on, Aaron Judge, when he was kind of hinting at and talking about Manny Machado joining the Yankees as a free agent after last year. And Major League Baseball talked to Aaron Judge about that. And it's happened in the past, too. I think David Ortiz got reprimanded for about talking about some player. I don't remember who it was now. I don't think it should be a problem for players to openly campaign for other players to come play for their team. That's what happens in other sports, and it drives interest. You see how much interest is being driven by Bryce Harper talking about Mike Trout. Now, does it put Trout in a little bit of an uncomfortable situation? Yeah, it probably does, because Trout's going to get asked about it. He has gotten asked about it. And he said, hey, listen, I love Bryce, and Bryce is doing his thing. I play for the Angels right now, and that's what Trout should say. That's what his focus should be on. Now, he plays for a baseball team, Trout does, that's not going to the playoffs this year, unless there's a miracle coming that I can't see. It's an embarrassment what Artie Moreno, the owner of the Angels, has put around the best player in baseball these last few years. He went out and got Shohei Ohtani last year, and Ohtani is not going to pitch this year. He is going to DH, so at least they have Ohtani's bat. But they don't have much else, and they certainly don't have much in the starting rotation. It's a walking MASH unit, and if any of those guys can stay healthy, okay, great, but I don't believe in Andrew Haney and Tyler Skaggs staying healthy, not in the slightest. So the Angels are not going to the playoffs, and Mike Trout has played 3 playoff games in his life. That's criminal. You know he wants to go to a winning team. Now, the best way to convince Mike Trout, other than the fact that, do we know that Mike Trout wants to play for his hometown team? We know he loves the Eagles. We know he loves the Sixers. We know he loves the Flyers, and I'm sure he loved the Phillies growing up. It probably would be a dream to play for the Phillies. And Bryce Harper's contract, his AAV of $25 million, allows the Phillies to at least consider that option. I think the Phillies will certainly go after Trout if he becomes a free agent. Now, the Angels could certainly try to sign him to an extension, but Trout is not going to sign an extension with the Angels unless he knows that that's a team that's on a winning track. And right now, that is not a team on a winning track. The Phillies appear to be winning baseball games, getting to the postseason this year, next year. Well, as much as coming back to Philadelphia and playing for his hometown team, I think Mike Trout wants to get to a World Series more than playing for his hometown team. Now, this Phillies team is loaded. they should be in the playoff hunt this year. They should make the postseason, I would think. They have to be favorites, either to win the National League East or win a wild card spot and get themselves into the postseason tournament. The Phillies have to be in the mix. The National League is a really tough league this year. There are a number of teams that could make the playoffs. So a lot of evenly matched teams here. But Mike Trout has to look at the Phillies and know that that is a really good situation. Not only is it his hometown team playing in his hometown city, where I do think he wants to play, and if they can make it a winning franchise, a potential playoff team, certainly you could see Mike Trout and Bryce Harper in the same outfield. And how amazing would that be? Only six players have posted seasons of 10 or more wins above replacement since 2000, and I'm going with Baseball Reference's version of the stat here. Barry Bonds and Mike Trout have both done it three times. Mookie Betts did it last year. Sammy Sosa did it in 2001. Alex Rodriguez did it in 2000, and Bryce Harper did it in 2015. So two of these 10 WAR players could be playing in the same outfield in 2 years. And that's just crazy to think about. And it does feel a little greedy, but I don't care. Give me Mike Trout. Give me Mike Trout. But listen, before we jump into Mike Trout fully and just obsess about this, and I saw a guy at the Sixers game earlier this week has a full-on Phillies Trout jersey. And God bless him. You know, that's money I'm not ready to spend yet, but I like where the thought's at. But I do want to enjoy this 2019 team. And so let's talk about the players who are still here. And obviously Bryce Harper signing with Philadelphia has the entire sports world talking about him. And if you're talking about MVP candidates in the National League, right now Vegas odds makers, the odds at Superbook USA, when they first came out earlier this week, their first NL MVP odds had Bryce Harper leading the pack at 6-1. Now, obviously, a lot of that is because tons of fans are being driven by the interest in Bryce Harper signing his contract and are just putting money on Bryce Harper. Because when you're the highest paid player in baseball, if you don't follow the game closely, you might think, well, that's the best player. Let's put money on Bryce Harper to win National League MVP. He's followed by Nolan Arenado at 7-1, Paul Goldschmidt at 10-1, Chris Bryant at 12-1, and Manny Machado at 15-1. Those all might be better options than Bryce Harper, who struggled last year. But he does have an MVP under his belt. So we know that he has that kind of season in him. We know what we saw in 2015. Frankly, he probably would have won another MVP award in 2017 if he hadn't skidded across a wet first base bag at Nationals Park and messed up his knee and missed almost all of September. When we're looking at the Zips projections for Harper, they are projecting him to hit .266 with a .401 on-base percentage and a .533 slugging percentage. They project him to hit 35 homers, knock in 109 runs, score 104, and have a WAR of 4.8, which would be the highest on the team. However, according to Zips, it would put him sixth in the NL behind Machado, Christian Yelich, Arenado, his former teammate Juan Soto, and Chris Bryant. So, again, according to the Zips projections, and again, these are all just computer projections. They don't really mean anything. They have Harper at, sixth in the National League in wins above replacement. And understanding that we don't award MVP solely based on wins above replacement. I'm just giving you all these numbers so that you have a complete list, or not a complete list, but at least a fair sampling of advanced metrics and traditional metrics to use here. Rhys Hoskins is the second Philly on the Superbook list, with the ninth best odds, tied with Anthony Rizzo at 20-1. Obviously, moving to first base will help out Hoskins there. Zips projects him to hit .250, .351, .500 with 34 homers, 113 RBIs, a weighted on base average of .363, and a WAR of 3.6. However, that's significantly lower than Harper. Now, I would postulate, and I have said it on previous podcasts, that I think JT Realmuto is an honest to goodness MVP candidate. When you look at the state of catching in baseball, Realmuto is so far above most of the other catchers in the game that I think his level of play, and given what he could do to help out the Phillies' starting rotation and the pitching staff, and I think the improved offensive numbers we will see from him, getting him out of Marlins Park, a place that he struggled in mightily during the course of his career, getting him those games at Citizens Bank Park will do wonders for his offensive numbers. And I think that's reflected somewhat in the Zips projections. They have him hitting 276, 335, 503 with 25 homers, 84 RBIs, a team best 32 doubles, a 356 WOBA, and a WAR of 4.7. That's just 1/10 of a point below Harper, projected as 7th best by Zips. I mean, he's generally regarded as one of the best defensive catchers in the game. And I think his potential to increase his homer total is quite real. He hit 21 homers in 531 plate appearances last year playing for the Marlins, but hit just 8 home runs at Marlins Park. Zips is accounting for a slight increase of 4 home runs this season, taking him from 21 to 25. But I think he could hit 30 home runs playing in CBP 81 games a year. And if he does that, at the catcher position, he's going to be a prime MVP candidate. Right now, he's tied with players like Marcell Ozuna, Juan Soto, Eric Hosmer, and 6 others at 40-1 odds. I think those are great odds. Frankly, those are great Juan Soto odds as well to win the National League MVP. There was one other Philly on Sportsbook's list of potential MVP candidates, and that is former MVP Andrew McCutchen, who sits at 80-1 odds, tied with players like Jed Lowrie, Brandon Belt, Michael Conforto. Zips has him batting 255, 360, 450. 54 this season with 25 homers, 80 RBIs, 82 runs, 25 doubles, a WOBA of 351, and a WAR of 2.8. That would be 4th best on the team. I think we would all happily take those numbers from Andrew McCutchen here in 2019. One other thought about Real Muto and Bryce Harper. You have two potential MVP candidates on this team in 2019, really because of one player, Sixto Sanchez. Now, that sounds strange, I know. And obviously, the direct link between Sixto and Real Muto is obvious. The Phillies traded Sixto and Jorge Alfaro to get Real Muto. But remember last summer, when the Phillies were considering trading for Manny Machado, there were many people in Philadelphia, both online and on the radio, who were pushing the Phillies to trade Sixto Sanchez to put him in a package for Manny Machado, along with other players. Many of you listening and many of the people online and many of the people in radio obviously didn't think that trading Sixto Sanchez for a rental player was a good idea. So most people were not on board with that. But I did a piece on this for The Good Fight this week. And I reposted a poll that was done by 97.5 The Fanatic that asked listeners, would you include Sixto Sanchez in a trade for 2 months of Manny Machado? And remember, at the time, the Phillies were still in first place. They were struggling with the Atlanta Braves, but you could see some oil was leaking out of the team. You could see that shortstop was a massive problem. Scott Kingery just was not getting it done, and the team needed to upgrade offensively and defensively at shortstop. They eventually got Asdrubal Cabrera and upgraded in neither way. It was a slight upgrade offensively and really was a wash defensively. Cabrera just turned out to be a very bad acquisition. I thought it was an okay acquisition, and I certainly was fine with Cabrera and the Phillies punting on including Sixto Sanchez in a deal for Manny Machado. Eventually, the Dodgers swooped in with a better offer than what the Phillies were offering. I think the Phillies' rumored offer at the time was Adonis Medina, Adam Haseley, and some other guys, and that wasn't enough to get it done. If the Phillies had traded Sixto Sanchez for and gotten Manny Machado last offseason, the thinking for doing that was, well, you get Machado, you let him play in Philadelphia for 2 months, you let him see how awesome the city is, you're more likely to sign him as a free agent next offseason. Remember, we were Machado obsessed last year. And heading into the offseason, we were Machado obsessed. Now, his antics in the National League Championship Series, the Johnny Hustle comments, certainly turned many Phillies fans off. And I think it turned off some in the front office as well. Eventually, Bryce Harper became the target of choice. And John Middleton said on WIP this week that he took the fans' desires into account. And a lot of people took that to mean that they made this decision based on the fans. Well, listen, these two guys were pretty even. You know, they came into the offseason as basically being options 1A and 1B. There was no wrong answer here. The Phillies just had to get one of these two guys. Both of these guys were going to alter your franchise. Both of these guys were going to give you 4 to 5 wins above replacement, more than likely. And both these guys brought different things to the table. But either was an equally good choice at the beginning of the offseason. The Phillies ended up picking the one that the fans wanted most, that would draw the most interest, ticket sales, clicks, jersey sales, all that sort of stuff. And you can't blame him for that. When you're signing somebody to a 10-plus year contract, that stuff's important, especially when the importance of the two players is essentially the same on the field. Machado would have given the Phillies a different dimension than Bryce Harper gives them, but you can't account for all the other stuff that Bryce Harper brings to the table, some of the intangibles. And John Middleton's comments were taken out of context. I don't think he was saying, well, we got Harper because that's what the fans wanted. It's a little bit of paying lip service to the fan base, and that's fine. He's taking his victory lap. That's great. I think it's time now to be done with that, and I think everybody in the Phillies knows that now. But if the Phillies had gotten Manny Machado last offseason, and had they, maybe he, let's just argue for the sake, let's just say that 2 months in Philadelphia would have convinced Machado to sign a free agent deal with the Phillies. If you have Machado on this team right now, you don't have Bryce Harper. And I think everybody prefers, just about everybody prefers having Bryce Harper over Manny Machado. And you get to trade for JT Realmuto by not burning your very best trade chip for a rental player who you did not get an exclusive negotiating window to sign an extension with. You lose that potential trade chip. And going, the reason I mention this is going forward, I want people to remember this, because we hear all the time, well, they're just prospects. You know, you're not guaranteed anything with a prospect. Trade it for a surefire major leaguer. And listen, when you're where the Phillies are right now, I understand that. That's fine. But you also have to understand that when you have a valuable trade chip like Sixto Sanchez, and he's really your only blue chip thing to move in a trade, you've got to wait for the right opportunity to do it. I had no problem trading Sixto Sanchez. I just wanted to do it for the right person. And I still wasn't sure when they traded for Realmuto that Realmuto was the right person. I was perfectly happy going into the season with Jorge Alfaro. With Harper on board, I'm glad they have Realmuto. And I do think Sixto Sanchez will be a good pitcher in the major leagues. I think he could be a great pitcher in the major leagues. But he's a big question mark. But the reason that you don't trade a big-time ticket like that when you were in the position the Phillies were in last offseason is you don't want to waste that trade chip for a rental player. As it turns out, the Phillies were able to buy a free agent just as good as Manny Machado, and some would argue even better in a lot of different ways, and you were able to use that chip to get JT Realmuto. So instead of Sixto Sanchez getting you one player for 2 months, he got you two players, one of them for 13 years and the other for two, and the team will most likely sign an extension with that player, making it even longer. Sixto Sanchez, the linchpin last year and this year to the Phillies landing two MVP candidates heading into 2019. Coming up, I'm going to talk to Mike Oz from Yahoo Sports about all this. We'll talk about the effect Harper has had on the Phillies, on baseball, on the sports world. And Mike is a big baseball card guy. We're going to go over some of our favorite baseball card designs from the late 1980s. Folks, that is my wheelhouse. We're going to do that up next right here on Hittin' Season. And joining me to talk a little bit more about Bryce Harper and some of the fun that we've had with Mike Trout and imagining things, what they'll be in 2021. Because, you know, we're still playing fake games. We're not really getting that into the 2019 team at the moment, but that's coming. Mike Oz from Yahoo Sports. You can follow Mike on Twitter at Mike Oz. Mike is also one of the hosts of the Yahoo Sports MLB podcast, which will be coming back this year. Mike's first time on Hittin' Season. Hey, man, thanks so much for coming on the podcast. How are you?
Thanks for having me, man. I'm doing pretty good. I found myself a shady spot in Arizona from which to talk to you, and that's pretty much like the best thing I can ask for at this point. So I will take the shade.
No, I would take it too if I were you. As a matter of fact, I'd take the sun. I know Arizona's hot and all that, but as I record this with you in Washington D.C., Northern Virginia area, it's below freezing still up here. So
It's cold in my house, but like I've been out here in Arizona for a week now, and the sun just like beats down on you. So I'm happy to sit in the shade and talk baseball with you.
Sounds good, man. We'll talk some ball. We'll talk some Bryce Harper. You know, at some point this year, I think as Phillies fans and Phillies podcasters and broadcasters, we will talk about something else. I'm fairly confident that it's going to happen. But at the moment, you know, Harper is still the guy that everybody is talking about really throughout baseball. And some of the stuff that he said on WIP here in Philadelphia about Mike Trout openly campaigning for him to join the Phillies in a couple of years. You know, we heard that somebody from the Phillies talked to him about his comments after director of Major League Baseball, was contacted by the Angels, you know. And I guess my question is, is what Bryce Harper really did tampering? I mean, I guess under the rules as Major League Baseball has them written, it probably is. But I think there's a difference between like a GM or an owner saying that we would love to have Mike Trout in 2 years and another player who probably has had that conversation with him on the phone at many points during the course of this offseason, Mike.
Yeah, you took my answer, I think, but that's okay. I appreciate it.
I'm sorry.
I'm just kidding. Yeah, I think it's kind of a ridiculous thing, right? Like how are you, a sport like baseball that is looking for, you know, players to have big personalities and sort of be engaging and let's face it, make headlines and have, you know, a conversation that's happening in the greater sports universe and not just in baseball. And you got a guy like Bryce Harper who's made that happen the last couple of weeks. And then, like, we're going to get mad that he said he wants to play with Mike Trout in a couple of years. Like, it just seems silly. Like, if this becomes an actual thing where he gets disciplined or he gets fined, it just seems like MLB shooting itself in the foot if it gets to that point. Like, I understand, you know, a Phillies person coming in doing some damage control and saying, hey, you know, it's probably not the best look for you to do something like that. Like, that makes sense. And I guess it makes sense for the Angels to kind of, you know, do the tampering thing because I guess that's what you do. But if anybody takes it seriously, it just seems like a ridiculous thing. It, you know, he said it in a radio interview. I'm sure, you know, it's not like he, you know, is doing some like super serious official business. Like, just don't worry about it, baseball. Yeah. Like, just let it go. Let players do this stuff. And I agree, you know. If it was a manager, if it was a GM, if it was an owner, it'd be a little bit different. But at the same time, you know, there's so much stuff that goes on these days outside of, you know, what we'll call the public timeline, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it's somebody texting somebody, and there could be all these things legitimately happening all the time. You know, GMs and owners and everybody could be doing all kinds of stuff that is probably not right within the rules. So if Bryce Harper goes on a radio interview, big deal.
Yeah. Philly fans, and listen, we lean into it. We know we're obnoxious. I mean, that's just kind of how it goes. And we know that. But is it exceedingly obnoxious that after the offseason the Phillies have had, after landing Bryce Harper, that we're already trying to focus on Mike Trout in 2 years, landing the best player in baseball? Like, on a scale of 1 to 10, how obnoxious are we being right now?
Yeah, I don't think it's obnoxious. I think it's perfectly fine to daydream and you know, you're kind of on top of the world right now. You had the big thing happen, and I don't think it's wrong to want more. Like, that's okay. I that answer may be different from someone who has a little more of like a horse in the race. Like, I don't care who plays where. So
sure.
I'm all for the storylines. I think it makes for a fun story. It makes for a fun thing to talk about. Now, if you're a Nats fan or if you're a Mets fan, you know, that might be different. But for me, as someone who is, you know, Switzerland and all this, like, I'm all for the sort of, like, baseball, you know, aligning its super teams. And you know, while there's definitely some bad ramifications in terms of what kind of, you know, game we might have with disparity between good teams and bad teams, from the public spectacle of it, like, I'm all about it. I think baseball needs that kind of attention. I think baseball needs to generate those kind of headlines and to be interesting, you know, to kind of have that, like, NBA-level intrigue. Because, I mean, I made a joke about this on Twitter the other day, but, like, you know, this is the kind of stuff that happens in the NBA. Like,
yeah.
And it's blown out of proportion. And, like, that's great. Like, you know, let baseball have that kind of moment and not throw a fit, which is a very baseball thing to do, right? I mean, it's not all that different than bat flips or any other sort of thing that baseball people like to get bent out of shape about when it really has no impact on anything other than your notion of the way the game should be instead of, you know what, the game has changed. It's 2019. People are going to do this kind of stuff. Like, oh, well.
You know, I'm trying to think of the last time a move in baseball happened that really reverberated this much around the overall sports world. Because when you look at Giancarlo Stanton trade a couple years ago, that was a big deal. Everybody talked about it. But soon after the trade, it kind of went away. I mean, obviously, it wasn't talked about to this degree. And I wonder, Mike, if the buildup, the four months during this process that we all went through for it to finally end and for Harper to go to Philadelphia, and for it to continue on like this. I mean, Harper sold more jerseys in his launch during the first 48 hours than any player in any sport in history and U.S. sports history. And that kind of blows my mind. And I can't remember the last time a player went from one team to another team like this where it had this much effect on the regular sports world. I mean, A-Rod happened before Twitter and all that, but you know, since we became such a social media focused society, I'm really having trouble thinking of a baseball move that reverberated like this. Is there any one that pops into your mind?
I don't think so. You know, like the moves that stand out to me, obviously, are I think they're moves that are a little more like impactful in baseball, in like a, you know, the Astros traded for Justin Verlander and they went out and won a World Series and, you know, like that kind of thing. Like,
yeah.
Obviously that was big, but
right.
That didn't really, you know, have the same kind of impact.
Mm-hmm.
So I think there's so much more of that in baseball, but I'm having trouble too, thinking of somebody. And I mean, I think Stanton is the only thing. And we've already kind of thrown that out that, you know, doesn't rise to what we're talking about here. Quite honestly, the only other thing I can think of that, you know, probably has the same effect, and it's not really a player, but it's like, you know, Derek Jeter taking over the Marlins.
Yeah.
Like, that's the only other thing that, and maybe that's just our sort of, you know, Yankee-centric world. And I mean, I don't know. I've joked too that you could probably make a case that Derek Jeter's still probably the most famous baseball player, even though he's an owner now.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's hard for somebody to rise to that occasion, which, again, more credit to Bryce. Credit to, in the sense, I mean, if you want to look at the Bryce Harper, let's call it the Bryce Harper rollout, you know, it was rolled out like the way a movie is rolled out or an album or something like that. And, you know, it was lined up to where when free agency started, MLB The Show put him out on the cover, you know, like the next day without
right.
a team. And like, come on, that was telegraphed. And then they announced some other endorsement right after that. And it was all sort of like, you know, you could tell that it was very planned, and obviously I don't think that, you know, the Boris people were hoping that, you know, it got all the way into spring training. But you know, there's no, like, I don't think there's a rush for him to sign. I think Boris likes to kind of play that game. So
mm-hmm.
I look at it all like, okay, how are we going to make this story happen? And I think they did a really good job in that sense, because, you know, if we can't think of something that is on par or even close to on par, then to me that says that this is sort of a seminal moment for, you know, baseball, not only just because of the length and the money, but it's going to be one of those things where, you know, it sort of changes the whole landscape of the game.
Yeah, it's just funny. I mean, Machado came into the same offseason as Bryce Harper. Both players were seen as pretty equal, and at least especially in the Phillies' eyes, you know, there was really hard for them to choose. And, you know, Bryce, the whole hoopla that's come out of Bryce signing with the Phillies has just completely dwarfed Manny Machado's signing in San Diego, and the contract wasn't that much different. So, and the impact that each will have on each team, really, you know, Harper will help the Phillies more because the Phillies have done so much during the offseason and seem to be closer to contention, Mike. And that's kind of my next question. How much better does Harper make the Phillies? Do you, especially in the division, where do you have them in the National League East right now?
Oh, you know, I am within the hour. We're going to go and film all of our season preview, like who's going to win the World Series.
Well,
that's what I'm doing in an hour. And I've kind of been thinking about all this, and I don't want to become I want you to think I'm a homer to your podcast, but like I'm rolling with the Phillies, man. I'm bought in.
Yeah, right.
I think I would love if they had one more like established starting pitcher.
Mm-hmm.
But as they are right now, like I think they are a team that could win the National League. And I look at the National League and I think that, you know, it's there's like six teams that I think have a reasonable shot to do that. So, you know, they're not head and shoulders above anybody else. But, you know, I all the additions they made, like I really like them. I have question marks about in the division. I mean, obviously, no one cares about the Marlins.
Right.
I have so many question marks about the Mets. Like, I just have a hard time seeing all that work out. I have, you know, questions about the Braves pitching more than I do about the Phillies pitching. So that's how I arrived there. You know, the Nationals, I think, are still going to be a good team. They have a great pitching staff. But, you know, there's also some questions there. And I wonder, you know, what the offense is going to be like. So I as I looked at that division today, I'm like, no, I'm rolling with the Phillies. And as I looked at that National League, I'm rolling with the Phillies.
Yeah, as you look around the National League, too, I think, you know, the Dodgers have to have some questions about Clayton Kershaw's health. I mean, for this already in spring, we know he's had injury issues the last few years, and for it already to be kind of creeping up, it makes me wonder why they haven't investigated Dallas Keuchel or Gio Gonzalez a little bit more. Maybe they have, and they just haven't pulled the trigger on that as of yet. But
I think they really like Walker Buehler. I mean,
yeah, he's,
you know,
great.
There's
good.
That part of it.
Yeah.
Urias, I mean, yeah, I always know if I say his name right. You know, Urias could be, like, if he comes back, remember, he was like a really hot prospect for a while, and if he's good, that helps them a lot. But yeah, I mean, there's just a lot of questions throughout the whole league.
Yeah, and the National League Central also, Mike, really, I couldn't tell you. I mean, gun to my head, I'd probably take the Cubs, but the Cardinals will be better. The Brewers will be better. And I think all these teams, Phillies, Nationals, Cubs, Brewers, Dodgers, Cardinals, they could all be right around the same number. So it really is kind of crazy right now. As you know, the odds have come out from Vegas, some of the early odds on MVP and stuff like that. And those are always fun to look at, but obviously they're kind of dictated by who's putting the money down on each guy. And so that's how that'll change. But they have Bryce Harper right now leading the way. I think it was 6-1 last I saw, with Arenado right behind him at 7-1. The guy I think on the Phillies that I think could have as good a chance, if not maybe even a slightly better chance based on the position he plays, is Real Muto. That was a huge signing. When you look at how much better he is than the rest of the catchers in the league, I'm not so sure he's not a better MVP candidate than Harper. What do you think?
I see where you're coming from. I wonder, though, if people are really going to be able to, like, understand his value is sort of in, you know, in that MVP vote kind of way.
Yeah.
I feel like, you know, there's still a little bit of the you know, voter thing where they want to vote for the guys who hit some of the traditional, you know, benchmarks and stuff. And, you know, it's changed in the last couple of years. We've seen some of that change. But, I mean, I think you have a good case. I don't know that I would put him necessarily in my top five for the NL. I'm big on Acuña this year, man. I think that he could have a big year.
No, and a whole season from Acuña will go a long way too for Atlanta. Yeah. I mean, they won the division with him only playing a portion of the year anyway. But a whole full season of Acuña. You know, I agree with you about the Braves pitching. You know, Sean Newcomb worries me. Kevin Gausman worries me. Julio Teheran. I mean, you don't know what you're going to get from those guys, but that is still a team that scares the ever-living crap out of me. And you look at the Mets.
Yeah.
You know, oh my gosh, with DeGrom and Wheeler and Syndergaard. I mean, you never know. They just, even as a bad team last year, they beat the pants off the Phillies one right after the other. So last thing for you, I mean, one of the things I love about what you do at Yahoo Sports, Mike, is you do the old baseball card series, and I love the one that you did with Chase Utley a little while back. That was awesome. Are you planning on doing more of that this year, Mike?
Yeah, we've been out here in Arizona filming some. We filmed with Mike Trout yesterday, so that was obviously really cool. We filmed with Archie Bradley today, and that was really good. With Kyle Freeland today, so we've got some good ones coming. We're coming up on our 100th episode, so that's going to be actually the week of opening day. And I think it will be of interest to Phillies fans. I can reveal what it is. I'm not going to tease you. It's with Pete Rose.
All right. Wow.
It is the most epic episode we have ever done. I've never. I'll just put it this way. We went in. I had like six packs that he could choose from, and we left with zero packs. And he just opened them all, man. He just wanted to keep going, and it's quite long, but it's quite entertaining.
That sounds worth it to me. So I got to ask you, what is your favorite all time card? Favorite design, like favorite all time card? Do you have one?
Oh, in that sense, you know. So the first cards that I collected was 1986 Donruss, because I was chasing those Jose Canseco rated rookies. So there's still something about that card and that look, even though I don't know that it's like the greatest design. But when I see it, like, my heart just kind of flutters a little bit. So I love that one. I think this is maybe a little bit of a hot take, but I actually really enjoy, and maybe this is because we've been opening a lot of them lately. Like, I like the 1989 Topps was kind of like the...
Oh, the cursive, the cursive script.
The
yeah.
Like, to me, those... Because, like, that whole look is pretty, like, tired now in the grand scheme of things. But to me, that's where I first saw that, you know? Mm. So, like, as a kid, I really like that. There's a lot of cards that I like that are kind of before my time, but like 1983 Topps are just, to me, they're just beautiful.
They're gorgeous, aren't they? That's a top two or three design for me, Mike. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. But I also look at that, like, it wasn't something I experienced. I was, you know, 3 years old, so I wasn't opening cards at that point. But in retrospect, like, I look at those cards like, man, that is a nice card. And we've opened up some on the show. I have a couple packs that I'm waiting for the right person. But I really like those ones.
Yeah, I was like 9 or 10 in the mid '80s when I started opening up like the 1985. The 1985 Topps was my first foray into baseball cards, and my parents got me a whole set for Christmas once. And at some point during my childhood, I lost it. I actually think a kid who I went to elementary school stole it from my house during a sleepover. I swear.
even the Clemens and McGuire cards that are in there.
Yes, yes, the whole thing. Because I had it, and I remember one day thinking, where did that go? And I tore my house apart when I was younger. And just could never find it, but I love those. I love that design. I love the 87 Fleer design, Mike. The blue.
That's what I was gonna say. The blue. The blue is nice. I think of it as the Barry Bonds rookie too.
Yeah.
So like that. You know, so I think of it as like the card that I was chasing, and I was chasing that card. So like I love that one, and that's actually one of the sets are, you know, relatively speaking, that still has some value.
Mm-hmm.
You know, of sort of the 86, 87, 88, 89, like. 87 Fleer, still kind of cool, you know. Like, I've never seen those. Like, I would buy those in a heartbeat and try to open them on the show, but I don't know where they're at.
Yeah, I have the 1987 Fleer Ultra tins that they put out mid season that has a Greg Maddux rookie card in it, which is one of my better cards. I don't have a great collection anymore. I specialized in the cards that everyone had 25 of, so that was kind of my lane, Mike. But I never was able to get the real good ones. Back in those days, we thought they were gonna, you know, put us through college, and you know, now that's pretty much not the case.
Yeah, and they are not doing that.
No, not at all.
And but you know, I turned them into at least a somewhat amusing video series, so there's that.
Well, make sure to check that out. Make sure to check out all of Mike's stuff at Yahoo Sports. And again, follow Mike on Twitter at Mike Oz. Mike, thanks so much for coming on Hittin' Season. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, no problem. Thanks for having me. I'll hopefully talk to you guys soon.
Well, when we come back, there are a couple of names on the free agent market who could still help the Phillies, but if the Phillies are going to go in that direction, which one should they choose? That's up next, right here on Hittin' Season. And we're back on Hittin' Season. So as we finish up the podcast here on episode number 265, Dallas Keuchel, as of this recording, and Craig Kimbrell are still out there. And Gio Gonzalez, of course, too. But I don't want Gio Gonzalez. He's not going to enter into this conversation, just for anybody who's wondering. We're talking about Dallas Keuchel, and we're talking about Craig Kimbrell here. And talking about how much help each of these guys would be. John Heyman reported on Wednesday that the Phillies are still kicking the idea of Dallas Keuchel around, but only on a short-term deal. And I think we're talking about a 1 or 2 year deal where the Phillies are concerned. I would probably go to 3 with Dallas Keuchel at this point, but I wouldn't go any further than that. And I would prefer a 1 or 2 year deal with a vesting option for a third year if that's how they were going to do it. But when you're talking about the rotation, and I think that's the big worry that everybody has. We've seen a couple of Phillies pitchers pitch really well so far this spring. Aaron Nola has pitched really well. Jake Arrieta looked good last week. Nick Pivetta looked really good. Vince Velasquez did not have a good outing on Wednesday against, they're playing the Blue Jays, I think, and he got hit around a little bit. But it's the spring. They're working on stuff. I mean, we don't expect pitchers to shut these guys down at this point in the spring. Nevertheless, the starting rotation is certainly a little bit of a concern for most people. A lot of people think that, and I kind of agree with this to a degree, that I think the Phillies could still use another starting pitcher. I'm not a big Zach Eflin guy. I know maybe I'm in the minority on that, but I haven't seen enough from Zach Eflin over a period of time to think he's to really trust him in the rotation. And I'm not sure what we're going to get out of Jake Arrieta. And I think Dallas Keuchel as a left-hander would slide in nicely into this starting rotation.
even though he doesn't strike a lot of guys out and his velocity is declining. He seems like a guy who has figured out how to pitch with less velocity. But I would prefer signing Craig Kimbrell to Dallas Keuchel. And I think Kimbrell also is still waiting for that 4 or 5 year deal that's not going to come. Again, I would give Kimbrell a 2 or a 3 year deal without hesitation. And I think that that would be a real big help. And what that could do is if you have Kimbrell and David Robertson and Sir Anthony Dominguez and a lot of these guys in the back of the bullpen, you don't need your starting pitchers to pitch as much. Now, that hurts me to say a little bit because I still believe starting pitchers should try to go 7 innings. I still believe that a starting pitcher's job should get his team through 7 whenever possible. And I know most middle relievers all throw in the mid to upper 90s nowadays, and so we like to use relief pitchers a lot. Gabe Kapler loves to use his bullpen, and adding Craig Kimbrell to that bullpen would just give him even more options there. So I'm sure that he would love that, and it would certainly mean that you don't need Zach Eflin to go 7. You don't need Nick Pivetta to go 7. Just give me 5, boys. Give me 5 1/3. Give me 5 2/3, and we'll get it to our lights-out pen. We've got Kimbrell, Robertson. We've got Sir Anthony. We still have Pat Neshek. We still have Tommy Hunter. You've got the lefties, Jose Alvarez. You've got a bunch of other guys back there. You know, it's a bullpen. You know, Hector Neris. You've got Victor Arano, Adam Morgan. All these guys aren't going to be able to stay in the bullpen all year long, so a couple guys would have to move along if you grabbed Craig Kimbrell, but it certainly would make you very dangerous late in games, and it would lessen the amount of innings you would need from your starters. So that's a reason to go out and get Craig Kimbrell right now, and then that might be a better reason than going out and getting Dallas Keuchel, because, again, I like Keuchel, but you see the decline kind of coming here, and there's a reason Major League teams are wary of him right now. I know he won a Cy Young Award a couple of years back, and I think he'll end up going back to the Astros on a one-year deal, but I'm not convinced that he's a guy you necessarily want to give a Jake Arrieta contract to, and I don't think the Phillies are thinking in that direction at all. If it's a two-year deal, it's probably like a two-year, $40 million deal is what they're probably kicking around, maybe even less than that. 2 years 30, 2 years 35, that would be a big kick in the pants for Dallas Keuchel, who had a decent year last year. He wasn't bad. And people are treating him like he's a bad pitcher. He's not a bad pitcher. I think he would slot into the middle of this rotation really nicely, but only at the Phillies' price point. But I will also say, one of the ways you can help out a starting rotation that you're not quite sure about is to score a poop ton of runs. And that's something the Phillies did not do last year, obviously, especially early in games. In innings 1 through 3 last year, the Phillies scored just 219 runs. That was 21st in baseball. And they scored only 81 first-inning runs last year. That was 20th in baseball. Phillies starting pitchers a lot of times last year had to feel like they had to be perfect while they were on the mound. And that's not a great way to pitch. You don't want a pitcher who feels like he has to be perfect. You'd love to be able to give a guy a 2 or a 3 run cushion in the early innings to help him relax, help him just rear back and throw. And so that's what the offense can do. A good offense is a very good cure for a shaky starting rotation. And you would imagine that having a top of your lineup with Andrew McCutchen leading off, Gene Segura batting second, maybe Bryce Harper in the 3-hole, Rhys Hoskins hitting 4, Realmuto hitting 5, and you've still got Odubel Herrera in there someplace, Michael Franco, Cesar Hernandez in there someplace. You got those guys all lined up together. This is a baseball team that should score a lot of runs next year. Remember, the Phillies scored 677 runs last year. That was tied for 21st, and they had the fewest base hits of any team in baseball last season. So they're going to get more hits this year. They're also going to walk a bunch. You've got guys throughout this lineup who take a lot of pitches, with the exception of guys like Michael Franco and Gene Segura. But Gene Segura slaps the ball all over the place. He can take the ball to right field as well as any right-handed hitter in the game. He's a little bit like Placido Polanco that way, only I think a little bit more talented. And so if you get Andrew McCutchen on first base, you get that hole opening up between first and second. You could get a lot of first to thirds that way. You can get a lot of cheap first-inning runs that way. And that's something the Phillies need to do more of. They need to do more of that first to third here this season. And they've got the guys who can do that. They've got athleticism now at the top of the order. They've got guys who make contact, who put the ball in play, who get base hits which is just something this team did not do. And that will help out a starting rotation that, again, we're still just not quite sure about. So, again, on a two-year or three-year deal, I would go get Dallas Keuchel or Craig Kimbrell. It sounds like these guys are both still holding out for longer deals than that. And as long as they do, if I'm the Phillies, I'm staying away. I think the Phillies offseason is more than complete. They could improve themselves even more if they can get one of these guys on a deal. And if they can't, then I don't think anybody's signing these guys to a 4 or 5 year deal. I mean, the Atlanta Braves could certainly use either guy, and the Washington Nationals are said to be sniffing around Craig Kimbrell, but is anybody going to meet their price? At the moment, the answer is no. If the price comes down, I certainly think the Phillies could be involved, although I don't necessarily think I would expect it. I think the odds are better on Kimbrell than they would be on Keuchel, but that remains to be seen. All right, let's get to our stat of the week. This came out of the Twitter feed from The Good Fight, our very own Paul Boyer. Among Rhys Hoskins, Bryce Harper, JT Realmuto, and Andrew McCutchen, the lowest OPS among those four last year was 792. The Phillies have had four qualified player seasons of 792 OPS or better in the last 7 years combined. That's crazy. Folks, that'll do it for this edition of Hittin' Season. My thanks to Mike Oz for coming on the podcast this week. If you haven't done so, gang, remember to go over to Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever it is you get your podcast, and subscribe to the Good Fight podcast feed where you'll get Hittin' Season, Continued Success, and The Dirty Inning. And don't forget to check out the Hittin' Season Patreon as well, where we have written content, bonus podcast material as well. That's at patreon.com/hittin'season. Thanks, everybody, for tuning in. I'll talk to you all next time right here on Hittin' Season.